Good morning, good afternoon, or good night. I'm your host, Adrian Conway, and we are back for another episode of Rising Pod. Today, we are discussing 23.3 in the CrossFit Games Open, our thoughts on the test, the way that we concluded the Open, and of course, the leaderboard. And of course, I've got some thoughts because everybody else got some thoughts, and there are a lot of speculations and complaining and people out there questioning where CrossFit is in the space of development. Do they have a true identity? Do we know what the CrossFit Open is? This year was people are saying this year was a bad test. They're not going to sign up again. They're encouraging other people not to sign up again. And here's why, and this, that, and the other. Most of the people talking have no reason to necessarily be bashing. I think they just want to be heard. Everybody's opinion can be expressed, but I think that we should also consider how we express our opinions. And if you tend to devalidate yourself by saying things like, I don't really know much, but, or who am I to say, but, then maybe consider not saying it. But if you do hold your opinion high and you believe that you should be heard and here's why, then express those things with that confidence. And I lead with that just because you'll understand as we continue to get into this conversation. But I'm going to jump in and describe to you guys what 23.3 was like and what it was in itself. 23.3 was an amazing test that left a lot of people frustrated due to the nature of the test. People sign up for the CrossFit Games Open because they're really excited to see where they're at, see where they stack up against their peers. And a lot of people, unfortunately, have the assumption that we're going to get to suffer and I'm going to see who's tougher. I'm going to see if I'm the toughest. That's not described in pursuing the fittest. Yes, the fittest in the world will be tough, no doubt. Their training will reflect that because of their preparedness. Their preparedness will reflect that because of their ability to do what they're not great at and excel at it in the future, or to not neglect the skills and drills that other people neglect and only lean into suffering in the moment daily because they assume that's what CrossFit is. There are so many beautiful lessons in finding the fittest because finding the toughest isn't actually in the definition or description. With that being said, people were frustrated with 23.3 because the workout was as follows, or the test in this instance that it appeared in the CrossFit Open. The test was, in a 6-minute window, do 5 wall walks, 50 double unders, then 15 power snatch at 95, 65 pounds if you're doing the RX version. Then you immediately started the next round of 5 wall walks, then 50 double unders, and then another 12 power snatch or squat snatch at 135, 95 if you're doing the RX. Now, if you didn't finish those 2 rounds in a 6-minute window, you didn't get to advance and continue on. If you didn't get to advance and continue on, there are some significant things that you can focus on and reevaluate within your fitness and the journey that you're pursuing and becoming the most well-rounded version of yourself. We believe that a well-rounded athlete can express themselves in the form of gymnastics, monostructural conditioning pieces, and also weightlifting, do it mixed together in a variety of ways, and continue to increase those capacities. Now, something is glaringly absent: your ability to do double unders, your ability to cycle a barbell that we will still consider at this phase to be light to moderately light, even at the 135-95, even for the vast majority of our community. When we look at how we prescribe for the majority of the communities out there that exist, the affiliates that have been around for more than 3 to 4 years, 135 and 95 in regards to the form of a snatch are going to be something that you expect a portion of your community to not only RX, but excel in RXing, perhaps being able to do touch and go reps there if needed or if asked to. That's why I refer to it as moderately light, still for the vast majority of the community. And that's not everyone. Don't get it twisted. I'm not saying that's everyone, but I'm saying a lot of folks who pay particular attention to the sport side and are competitive by nature and are drawn to improving their score in the CrossFit Open, or one of the hundreds of thousands that did sign up to participate, a lot of them view that load as something they want to be able to manage. With that considered, again, if you didn't advance out of the 6 minutes, I understand your frustration. Heck, I'd be frustrated too. But it only drives you in a direction that now you have a focus and a urgency within your training to focus on. Maybe it's double unders for you. Maybe it's wall walks for others. And maybe it's cycling a barbell while staying composed for others that allows you to get back to the wall for those wall walks. But within that triplet, those 3 movements, you had an opportunity to digest and process some ways for you to improve your fitness. Maybe it wasn't in the cards for you to advance this year because you weren't prepared. and it didn't feel like much of a test of physicality because you were so limited. But let me tell you, that exactly expresses the limitation in your physicality. It wasn't a bad test. You just weren't prepared for it. You weren't able or prepared to advance through the 6-minute window. That's okay. That's why it's a test. Should motivate you going forward. Now, if you advance out of that 6-minute test, that 6-minute window, then you got to advance. Or if you had plenty of time to spare, let's say you got through the two rounds in only 3 minutes, 3:20, then you got banked time to get through the next one. The next round was 20 strict handstand pushups into 50 double unders, then into 9 snatches at 185 pounds for the men, 125 for the ladies. Again, if you're in the RX division, you get through that before the clock strikes 9 minutes, and then you got to advance to the final round, which was 20 strict handstand pushups, 50 double unders, and 6 snatches at 225 for the men and 155 for the ladies, 4 times. If you continue to advance and punch your ticket into the next rounds, your score was your score for time. And if you didn't, you had a score for reps in which you would also then log your tiebreak score. Now, for me personally, I didn't get to touch the 225-pound bar. I didn't get any reps there because I have a limitation right now, specifically because of the way that I've been training and my general physical preparedness. My strict handstand pushups were a struggle. I had to resolute to doing singles into the fourth round for much of the set, in order to keep myself from failing too many repetitions, because I failed a couple, and to alleviate my frustrations. So my point was, even for me, someone that's been at the CrossFit Games as recently as 2021 and finished on a podium in the 35 to 39 division, I had bouts of frustration, extreme frustration, as I thought that I had capacity to potentially at least get several snatches at the 225-pound bar, which was the final barbell, but I didn't. And guess what? I'm going to swallow my pride. Take a good, big, thick pill of humility and do my best to move onward in my training. But this gives me direction. It gives me an opportunity to have intentional focus for my personal development. Not only that, but this test revealed some things for my athletes and myself to focus on. And so now we have a very clear picture, not just from 2023.3, but also from the snapshot that the Open has created across 3 weeks for particular tests, and where we can increase and enhance our fitness. So 23.3 to me by design was excellent. I loved it. I loved it because the same reason people hated it. People assume that because you sign up for the CrossFit Open, you should feel like you're going to throw up every workout. You should feel like, hey, coach, this wasn't really CrossFit though, was it? Sir or ma'am who are considering defining CrossFit as only puke-worthy workouts that include a barbell and are always a triplet and a couplet, or a chipper that really burns the lungs and burns the legs, and you aren't doing CrossFit. You aren't doing well-rounded CrossFit. You aren't doing constantly varied functional movements executed at high intensity that include the likes of weightlifting, gymnastics, and also monostructural pieces in ways that are visited often enough to test and retest, but not in ways to become redundant. I say that because if every day you show up to the gym and you're focused on breathing hard and conditioning as your priority only, then that means your strength is not progressing in the way that it should. That means that your skills are not progressing in the way that they should, and that you should actually seek guidance and advice from your coach or the programmer at your affiliate as to why this is the case. Coach, at our gym, we always breathe hard every day, and you're always telling me to go so hard, and you're really doing a great job of being a cheerleader, but I also haven't really seeing a huge development in my squat snatching and overhead squatting. Why is this, coach? Your coach needs to be challenged. And I hope that the programming in the Open does it alone, because if they're paying attention closely, they'll see some skews in their programming or the flavor of what they prefer to program, coach, and even experience themselves. A lot of people feel frustrated about this, but what we have to understand is that CrossFit isn't simply defined as breathing hard workouts where we make large loads travel long distances quickly all the time, and where we always feel like we need to writhe and roll on the floor after each piece that is programmed. That's not good programming. It's a great way to become burnt out. It's a great way to have develop tendonitis in joints and ligaments because of all the up and down and ballistic movements and plyometrics that type of programming often entails. If you look back in the history of our sport, it's pretty easy to assume what the Open is going to be like. The reason I believe 23.3 is a breath of fresh air, or I'm sorry, not 23.3 in itself, but I think 2023, the open test in general is a breath of fresh air, is because now it's not so easy to say, hey, I just need to really get my athletes in great metabolic conditioning shape. They need to be able to cycle barbells. They need to be able to cycle high-level gymnastics, like kipping a ton, be prepared for 100 reps because my high-capacity athletes are going to get 10-plus rounds of these AMRAPs that are going to be programmed. It's not that straightforward, and I like that. I think that it protects us against the redundancies of repetitive actions like training the deadlift in high volume, the thruster in high volume, the dumbbell snatch in high volume, the box jump, the burpee box jump over, the total bar, the bar muscle up, the pull up, the chest to bar pull up, the handstand push up, kipping mostly, wall walk, high volume, go. It's really easy for me as a coach and an athlete that has been in this sport for several years to sit in the seat or to stand on the sideline or participate as an athlete myself and say, cool, I know how to get ready for the open. It's easy. You need to be in good shape and you need to be ready to cycle some weights. Yes, your gymnastics contractions need to be prepared so you don't tear your hands, so that your shoulders stay healthy and all the good stuff. But we know what to expect. It's high capacity all day. Show your engine, right? In this instance, in this particular open, I think that the limitations provided themselves to be much more skewed. Meaning that it wasn't just your conditioning. You did not have an opportunity to suffer unless you had the capacity to do so. And what I mean by capacity is that, yes, skills and drills are a part of our fitness approach and methodology. Mastering the ring muscle up, it should be a high priority for people that really love CrossFit, that especially want to sign up for the CrossFit Open and participate in that. Even the everyday athlete. I think there are nuances in our methodology that set us apart from other training methodologies in this way. It's the same thing as to, you know, and I'm going to reference, there was someone on the Savan podcast not long ago. I believe it was the Savan podcast. It could have been an interview with Andrew Hiller, but I know that Andrew Hiller is the one that posted it on his video about, there was an affiliate owner and he said, you know, I don't even know CrossFit's identity, constantly varied functional movements executed at high intensity. That doesn't tell us anything, or something along those lines. He was saying, he was alluding to this. Constantly varied functional movements at high intensity describes exactly what CrossFit is. And it is very direct. And if you know, and you've gotten your level one, and you've pursued your level two, and you've gotten the level three, you will understand, and the level four is now available. So if you're pursuing that credential, you will understand at a high level of what that means and how you, when you receive the kernel of the level one, can go out and distribute that to your community. If you don't do that, if you stop educating yourself, if you stop exploring the limits and the limitations of your members through isometric contractions and holds and increasing their ability and your ability to coach high level gymnastics or even infant level gymnastics, let's start there, but doing it at a high level for your members so they know how to scale, so they know how to progress themselves. If you're not trying to educate yourself on how to cycle a barbell or better teach the squat snatch or how to teach elderly people how to snatch, what kind of plyometric progressions and what kind of plyometric load are they prepared to handle? What is safe? What is not safe? You see, I mention all these things because people assume that coaching CrossFit is showing up to a gym, writing up a workout that is randomized, and then you execute it, or you coach people or cheerlead them through it. Or you have four pieces on the whiteboard or on the app that you program from, and you just root for them as they go through piece to piece. Folks, that is not coaching. And this is the problem. We don't have leaders in our space that are wearing the coaching hat and taking it as seriously as they should and educating people on the whys. Hey, coach, why are we overhead squatting today? Your coach better be equipped to explain to you why that's the case. Hey, coach, why are we doing power cleans today and not squat cleans? Your coach better be prepared to tell you why. Hey, coach, how come we're doing knees to elbows and not toes to bar? Coach, again, guess what? You better be able to tell them. Coach, we haven't hung on the bar for 3 days and I really was hoping we'd hit some pull-ups. How come we haven't? Or why'd you make me do them strict? Or how come there's no butterfly today? Or how come we're doing ring rows instead of pull-ups? Or how come, coach, you have us doing a finisher with dumbbell bent over rows and farmer walks today, even though we squatted? Why is that the case, coach? Coach, tell them about it. You need to be able to educate your members on these things. And the reason I'm staying here in this particular face of this conversation, and I bring up the man again from the Savan or the Hiller podcast that talked about he even mentioned, what is the difference between us and Orange Theory? Sir, if you own an affiliate and don't know the difference between us and Orange Theory, I'm going to go ahead and make a bold statement and say that you should not own an affiliate. Because I don't know why you would. Orange Theory is a training methodology that allows you to go into their facility. You particularly stay in a heart rate zone. You do some dumbbell work. You do some kettlebell work. There are no large loads. There is no technical proficiency being taught. There is no challenge of let's load you up. Let's do a 3 rep max here. Let's talk about what strength days look like. There are no gymnastic skills included. This is not coaching. There are trainers there putting people through workouts there. At the CrossFit gym, we coach. We challenge, and it goes far beyond the musculature that we will pack on people and the capacity that they will build for themselves outside of the gym. It's here. It's in the mind. We should be coaching humility. We should be coaching how to be taught and how to apply, how to lead and how to follow, how to have real human connection, how to have relationships. Folks, there's a lot of you listening to this podcast that are like, miss me with that coach. I don't want none of that. I just want to look good with an 8-pack. Hey, my friend, if that's all you want from your fitness regime protocol experience, then you probably don't need CrossFit. So miss me with that. You miss us with your presence, and it will make for us a better community because we're looking for people who are afraid to walk into the gym. That's who I want to come into my CrossFit gym so I can guide them through this experience that is specifically modified for them, where they go through an onboarding experience and they get an opportunity to see a coach face-to-face and ask them all the intimidating questions and be assured that they can be set apart even though they're amongst a group of 12, that they can scale the workout for their limitations although they've never played a sport in their life, that they can sign up for the CrossFit Open as long as they're willing to eat their humble pie and when it comes time to scale the workout that they have to do. Because, oh, guess what? There is a scaled category. You have that ability and that option to still meet yourself where you're at, even though it's time to throw down and compete. And as a coach, it's your responsibility to educate athletes on when and where and how to attack. So here are my thoughts. Folks, we just had a workout. We just had a test in 23.3 that frustrated a lot of people because there was movement interference there. Your shoulders got taxed. Maybe you didn't have the skills to do the snatch, or maybe you didn't have the skills to do the double under. Maybe you didn't have the skills to do the wall walk. Hey, folks, here's what I would suggest. Everyone at my gym, line up. We're taking this live. We're going to do the RX version. Let's see how far you guys can get into those wall walks and double unders. If you get capped at 6 minutes, awesome. If you get to the barbell and you can't snatch that much, heck, at least you got there and let's try those skills. And then guess what? I'm going to run a little side heat after this. Everybody that didn't get a great session, they didn't feel as though you reached the stimulus that a lot of other athletes reached in this workout. You tried. Hats off to you. Now we've got some finite numbers that we are going to be able to compare to next year or the next time this is repeated or who knows in the future. Maybe I'll program it as a programmer in 3 months and see where you stand. That would be some wonderful thought for programmers and coaches out there. With that being said, though, I'm going to take this and I'm going to offer them an opportunity to do the scaled version. I'm going to say, hey, you want to burn it down now? Check this out. Let's go ahead and make these double unders, single unders. Let's go ahead and make these wall walks. Instead of 5, you're going to go to this position. You're not going to go all the way up. The barbell is going to be loaded with this much weight. And this is the way that we're going to play it out the rest of the way. It's a fine balance of leading people in a community such as a CrossFit that should create and the ability for us to give them what they want and also still provide them with what they need. And you got to be willing to explore that. Again, this is a hard thing. Listen, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that everyone's going to think and feel my same way, and I hope that they don't. Good night. The world would be a terrible place if everyone thought like I did. But from my experience of leading others and helping them excel and chase their dreams, whether it's on the competitive side or just in the daily walk of life with the things that they can do inside the gym, I think what we're missing here is the tough conversation with people that you're in here for more than just a great workout. 6 minutes is a suffice training session. And if you're not actually applying that with your members, chasing intensity, think about the benchmark workouts that we have like Fran and Diane and Elizabeth that are all should be under that 6-minute window or close to it or should be scaled so that it can be. They're a beautiful combination of complementary movements, right? We've got the squat clean and the ring dip in Elizabeth. We've got the handstand pushup and the deadlift in Diane. We've got the thruster and the pull-up in Fran. 21:15:9, those are elegantly programmed and very scary to do. The higher the capacity, the more fear it strikes into your soul when you know that you got to do something, especially when you're willing to die for the tenths of a second in order to hit that new PR for yourself. It's hard, but it's fast. But the capacity that gets built within the intensity there is amazing. You've got to be led by someone who can tell you how to scale it, how to change it, how to change the weights so that you can still get the same stimulus as the Malobrines out there. or the Paige Powers out there, or the Jeff Adlers out there that are winning the CrossFit Open? How can you chase that stimulus? Because over time, daily, when you seek the intended stimulus and you get that information from your coach and you question them with like, hey coach, I'm really just trying to understand this journey. Why are we upside down again? We did that. We did something upside down on Monday. It's Wednesday. Are we doing that all the time now? What's up? My shoulders are tired. Is this okay? Coach, I noticed there's one day a week where we don't do anything upper body in regards to like hanging or pressing. What's up with that? I really miss, you know, doing something upper body. Coach got to have those answers. Coach got to be able to navigate people and hopefully have the type of relationship with their athletes where I'll use myself for an example. If I'm your coach and I coach you for more than a year and you feel like after a year, I haven't given you enough knowledge, conversations, opportunities, particularly if we work together in person and I haven't given you as much of my wealth as knowledge as possible, then I'm not doing my job. If after a year, you still feel like you desperately need me all the time, I'm not teaching you well enough to own your own fitness journey, how to scale, how to change, how to make hard choices, when to back off, when to lean in, when to challenge yourself, when to listen to your body. Good coaches do these things. And I'm not saying everybody's going to have the same type of experience that I've had. I studied exercise science in college. I've been in the industry long before I even got into CrossFit and started coaching CrossFit at a high level. But what I want to say to people is that CrossFit is the methodology that I've established my whole livelihood around because I do believe in it. And I studied exercise science and human performance and taught at a university level, preparing people to do things like take their CSCS. So these two trains of thought were very opposing to one another at the time when I especially got my level one. And yet here I am because I understand and see the fruits when applied appropriately, what it can do. Now, when applied appropriately is going to be this very large gap. People have their flavors. People have their approaches. I'm a firm believer in the way that I apply it with my athletes and depending on what they're training for, of course. But all coaches should feel that way about what they do. In regards to, is CrossFit set apart from Orange Theory? You bet. Is it set apart from F45? 100%. And if you have a hard time seeing that, you probably don't belong to a good affiliate or you're not running one yourself. Let's take a step back now as I get off my soapbox. I apologize because y'all know how I like to get it done. Let's reflect on the Open as a whole, okay? Week one, we had a chipper. Now, if you guys have gotten your level one and you've been through the programming lecture, which I've had the opportunity to give a lot, I love giving this lecture. We categorize our workouts in formats, the way that we approach them. A chipper is one that includes four or more movements, and you have to go through them in sequential order, eliminating that movement once you pass it by. In this particular workout of a chipper, because there were so many movements and we went through one at a time, knocking the full rep scheme out as we advanced, we had one monostructural movement. That was the rower, okay, which is what we started with. We had two gymnastics movements. One was the toes to bar and one was the ring muscle ups at the end. And we had two weightlifting movements categorized by U plus an external load, which was the power clean and the wall ball. Now, in regards to loading, this was a light workout. The power clean at 135.95 is going to be light or moderately light for the vast majority of our community, able to cycle it, able to move it. The wall ball is only 20 pounds, so that's still going to be categorized as light. Now, the limiting factor here for a lot of folks was the ring muscle-up. But the uniqueness about this test in 23.1 was that it was a race to the ring muscle-ups. If you knew you were going to get stuck there, if you knew you were going to struggle there, if you knew you had none, it was a race to them so that you could have the tie break if you happened to get a couple and tied several other thousand people that only got a couple. So there still was a metabolic stimulus there where the limiter had its opportunity for you to shine by having a great tie break, right? If the ring muscle ups held you up, you now have a place to grow. And it was a 14-minute time cap. The elites, we saw the elites, of course, punch through one full round, get through the row, and some even got through the toes to bar almost in completion, which was absolutely amazing to see. Week two, we had a couplet. Now, that means there's two movements. This was a 15-minute time domain. We had two new movements introduced this week, one gymnastics in the burpee pull-up and one monostructural metabolic conditioning movement in the form of running. We'd done running in different phases of the CrossFit season. Of course, we are bipedal by nature as humans, so running should be a staple within your CrossFit community and training on a regular basis. The 5K run is still the most programmed, from my understanding, the most frequently programmed workout on CrossFit.com, so pay attention to the history, and maybe you'll be more prepared for the test. We had those two movements together, gymnastics and monostructural, right? For 15 minutes, you did as many as you could there. That's a relatively long time domain. It suited shorter athletes. The burpee pull-up, you were able to get more reps in a short amount of time than you were on the run. So was it my favorite workout personally? No. It was one of my favorite open workouts ever, however. The way that it was programmed, the newness of it, the nuance of it. Can you learn a new skill and a rhythm? Where can you maximize your contribution? Are you willing to go out of your way to maximize your score by putting mats under you so you're closer to the rig? Are you not? Do you just want to throw your hat in the ring and say, let's see how I do? There were some limitations here at the affiliate level. I know that people expressed, hey, we don't have great pull-up bars for taller people, or hey, we don't have great pull-up bars that match my shorter athletes, so they have to jump a little higher. For those things, those are really hard to consider in regards to the masses. We consider that if you belong to an affiliate and you're doing pull-ups on a regular basis, there's probably a place just out of your reach that you do pull-ups. If you train in your garage, there's probably a place just out of your reach that you do pull-ups and toes to bar. I'm not saying this is 100% the truth for everyone. And I'm not saying that everyone's distance was exactly half an inch out of their reach or 1/4 of an inch out of their reach. It wasn't. And mine wasn't either. Mine was 2 to 3 inches out of my reach. I'd have loved to have been closer to the bar, but I wasn't. And I'll take that L for me in regards to comparison of my score to others so that I can participate in the workout and not be a problem child in the community being like, oh no, woe is me, boo hoo. Suffer in silence. And I know, again, not everybody has that same kind of mentality as I, but if it's not a pure problem, a real problem, one that I believe is going to affect who is the fittest overall, neither here nor there. I'm going to enjoy the test and I'm going to enjoy this opportunity to see where I can grow and how I can learn from the burpee pull-up. Then not only that, but to follow immediately in a 5-minute window, we had a single modality test in the form of a 1 rep max thruster. Now, so far in 2 weeks, with that being said, we went heavy with the thruster. It was a single modality test, weightlifting. Before that, we had a couplet, gymnastics and monostructural for 15 minutes. Great test of general capacity. What's your go button like? Then we've got the chipper the week before with a combo of monostructural, 2 gymnastics, 2 weightlifting, light, 14-minute window. Awesome. To be honest with you guys, I was very open to, I don't have any idea what's coming week 3. I knew that we would probably get inverted. I knew there'd be an emphasis on pressing. Those were my only assumptions. Would we see dumbbells? Would we see kettlebells? That's what I was banking on because we already seen a barbell now in 2 of the pieces in the first 2 weeks. I was assuming a lot like Bosman programmed the games this year, there might be something coming with no barbell because he didn't put a huge emphasis on the barbell at the CrossFit Games this year. But because it is the open, and because as a mature CrossFit fan or CrossFit coach or CrossFit aficionado, whatever people want to categorize themselves as, if you pay attention, you know variance is varied. Just because there was the absence of barbells at the games or they weren't as prevalent in the past, or because there were years where we didn't have a barbell at all in the open, or because there were years where it was a unique balance of dumbbell and barbell combined, or because the kettlebells were listed this year, oh, it got to be the kettlebells. Pure variance is very hard to predict. I think we're getting there. We did get inverted with the wall walk. We did get inverted with the handstand pushup. We got 2 more gymnastics movements there. This workout was in the form of a triplet. Now you might not think, oh, that was a triplet because you know there were technically 4 movements because the wall walk and the handstand pushup, but it was presented in the form of a triplet each round, right? Wall walk, double under snatch, handstand pushup, double under snatch. Not only that, but the barbell continued to increase in weight. So if you had the proficiency in the gymnastics and in the monostructural piece and the ability to cycle the light barbell, then guess what you earned? You earned the ability for a more upscaled version of the gymnastics movement. The double under stayed the same and then the heavier barbell as you went on. This is a great way to test for the fittest. Now, again, here's a frustration. Movement interference. Your shoulders were taxed. You didn't feel like you were going to throw up. So you got ticked off about the test because, coach, I want a harder workout. Well, focus more on your skills and drills. Focus more on your weaknesses. Focus more on moving slow for quality. Think about the strength that you're creating in gymnastics and not just doing them rep after rep to an ab mat or kipping. How do you develop a strict handstand pushup? How do you develop a deep, strict ring dip? How do you develop the ability to do a freestand handing handstand hold? Are these things being taught on a regular basis and played with in your affiliate? If they're not, question it. Why not? Coach, why haven't we practiced strict ring muscle ups? Coach, why haven't we practiced strict ring pull-ups? How come we're not hanging with a false grip? How come I'm not doing strict toes to bar? How come I'm not doing L-sits? How come I'm not doing ice cream makers? How come I'm not learning a lever action with my shoulders and learning how to use my physiology to create an advantage for a bodyweight movement? How come we don't practice pistols and holding the bottom position? How come we only see them in Metcons where we do 100 or more reps? So I just sit to a box all the time. How come I always see conditioning in our workouts, but not very much strength, but not very many strength days? If these things aren't being approached in your training, if these things aren't being approached in your programming, you've got to ask the question why. Constantly varied functional movements executed at a high intensity are going to appear in different ways. There should be days where you go heavy. That's it. There should be days where you do high contractions and heavy breathing. A lot of you are going to love those days. There should be days where you do intervals and it feels like an in-between. There can also be days where you do skills and drills only. I know that you might not think that this is going to be a highly fruitful day, that strength only is too boring and you need to breathe heavy, but you don't. If you want to improve and have gains, you need to attack whatever that is with intention and intensity. This is why we teach that intensity is relative, because it's also relative to the task, not just the individual. I will have days programmed where we go at a flow style pace. That's the intensity that I prescribe. We will have days where we lay it all on the floor and we think less and we do more and we go fast and we take chances. But then we will also sprinkle in days we go as heavy as we can for the reps prescribed, for as many sets as possible or as many sets prescribed. And then we'll cool down and leave the heavy breathing for the next day. Just make sure that you understand, folks, there's not necessarily a right and a wrong way to program and to learn and to evolve your community. But when you sign up for the Open, or you want to play CrossFit as a sport, or you want to visit the methodology in its purest form, you got to explore it that way. I would encourage you guys to try to find articles from the CrossFit Journal that Greg Glassman published many years ago. In those are the fruits of some of the most valid and valuable information and lessons and tests and workouts that you're going to find. And you're going to find hints of it in Dave Castro. You're going to find traces of it in Adrian Bosman. You're going to find truths that we share with you guys at level ones and level twos. And I think that's where you're going to find the best version of chasing CrossFit from a point of longevity that exists. Because if every day you come into the gym and you burn it down, you're going to start to have some sore knees. You're going to start to have some achy shoulders. Those things are unavoidable to some degree, but some people program in such a way to give you the best workout, because of course that's what you think is best or they think is best, that you're on a fast track to burning out, you're on a fast track to injury, and that's going to lead you on a fast track to pursuing something else for your fitness modality because you think that it's dangerous or it's a problem, but it just wasn't implemented or prescribed in the right way. Nonetheless, folks, Boz got me guessing. Boz got me on my heels. This Open to me was one of the most thorough tests that existed. I know I'm getting long-winded here, but I also want to talk a little bit about this leaderboard and what I saw. So I'm going to start on the men's side. Jeff Adler wins the Open yet again. So he did it also in 2021. You guys know the history of Jeff Adler. If you don't, I'll update you. Jeff came into this sport and he was naturally a strong athlete. He was a good performer on online competitions. I got to sit down with him last year before I commentated and did analyst work for the Atlas Games. And he shared with me that he didn't really play sports growing up. So for him, he's very comfortable in this scenario, right? Build fitness, test fitness in his gym, you know, and there with his own community or just his coach, he's comfortable with that because the lights aren't bright and the crowd isn't loud and the judge is someone he knows. So our biggest question with Jeff is, can he piece it all together this year? I want to congratulate him though for his hard work and the focus and intentionality that he clearly put behind his training because this was a pretty thorough test. You had some things that metabolically got you going. You had some things that you know, and specifically what I'm going to allude to for him is the sixth place in 23.1 and a 37th place in 23.2A I think those are great, both examples of progression and output for him. And I think he's trending in the right direction, and I really hope for the best for him this year individually. And I think this could be a year that if he feels healthy and he can put together a string of good events at the games and build some momentum there on the live competition floor when the lights are bright and the sun is warm, then he'll do good. He'll do great. Tola Moriquinho. Wow. What can I say about this dude? Went team last year, going team again this year, but he's in this like safe bubble right now where his training gets to be solely focused around his weaknesses. He's certainly fit enough to contribute to a team that can win the CrossFit game. There's no doubt about it. But for him to be able to work on his base conditioning, his zone two work, for him to be able to focus solely on like local muscle endurance and where he's going to find limitations when he gets back to competing as an individual, it's going to make him that much more dangerous for 2024. I'm going to be selfish and say that I hope to see him as an individual next year. I hope he goes ahead and gets one. It looks like he's going to get one this year on a team. He's going to get that gold medal on top of the podium. They're gonna probably be my pick as the season continues to unfold. But we'll see. We'll have something to see. I'm not gonna just hand them the gold medal yet. But with Andrea and Taylor on their team, and then you got Tim Poulsen right there, they're gonna be a tough bunch to beat. But Tola coming in second, thoroughly impressive, my man. Great job, Colton Mertens. Surprising only because I think he found himself in a situation just like a month and a half ago where he thought he wasn't competing this year. I know he had some health issues. He made public. I don't think he competed at Wodapalooza because of it. And, you know, here he is. If you guys follow him on social media, you're seeing my man like build out this garage gym, and he's still the third fittest man in the world after three weeks and four total tests. So hats off to him as well. And in a very close fourth place was Tyler Christopher. And I'm really hopeful this builds momentum for him going into the season. He really balled out throughout the course of this open, and I think he could use some momentum going into not just quarterfinals but semifinals specifically, as we know he was just an arm's length away from not qualifying to his first individual appearance at the CrossFit Games last year. So the men are putting on a show. There's a lot of notables that we could continue to talk about, but I already went too long and on my soapbox with the programming and everything else, so we're going to jump over to the ladies. And the focus here for me is the youth. We got Mallet at 19 years old. We got Paige at 20 years old, and we got Emma at 18 years old. The youth is here and they're putting on a clinic. And I say that because these ladies are mature. These ladies are executing at a very high level. I'm not surprised about Mal. She won the open last year. Okay. We know who her coach is. We know who her team is. She put us all on notice. Look, for her to finish sixth with a 7:56 and doing it at the announcement, and this workout is so strategic. We know we saw her get a couple no reps on the wall walks and handstand pushups. Not really sure for what reasons, because I watched videos and I don't know exactly the reasons, but it doesn't matter. She regrouped and did her thing, but finished sixth overall in the world on a workout that everyone watched her do and then gunned for her time. Man, it's going to make her hard to beat. But I want to really highlight Paige Powers here. At 20 years old, I got to watch her last year at the Atlas Games that I got to cover. And I want to say that specifically about her, I didn't know much, but she's a very mature young woman. She has got the frame of an athletic individual that I think will fare her well when it comes to getting out on the competition floor, right? A bit of a longer frame, not a ton taller than Mal, but you know, her, Emma, and Paige are kind of all, or Paige and Emma and Mal are all about close to the same size between 63 and 65 inches tall. But Paige to me is a bit more rangy, right? A little bit longer arms. It looks like her legs are a little longer. And I think that favors you in particular events, right? You think about rope climbs, think about how much running's at the CrossFit Games, think about flipping a pig, think about a plethora of things that can appear in that outdoor venue or arena. And I think sometimes it favors the longer athletes. Now, it's not a given, but I also think that her finishing second in the open shows that she can hang when it comes to inside the gym tests, right? The traditional cyclical gymnastics, the 1RMs, which of course we knew she would excel at, but even navigating something like strict handstand pushups. So I think that she made a statement, not just winning Wodapalooza a couple months ago, but also in her performance here, and I'm excited to see moving forward. Emma Lawson, we watched her wear that leader's jersey quite a bit last year at the CrossFit Games, so to me, this is less of a shock. She was kind of coming in as one of the favorites in my eyes. So to see where she's at, I'm not surprised. And I think we're going to have, you know, my question is with the next gen, is this movement of women, is this unique? Is this a special class, or is this just how it's going to be? Are we just going to get 2 to 3 new teens every year that are going to come up and fight for a spot in the top 10? Is this the new now? Is this how it works? So I'm excited to see that. I love to see what we have so far within the year. I'd love to put together some episodes and talk specifically about teams and kind of the layout of the predictions that surround that side of the competition. But all in all, folks, I've loved 2023 so far. I would love to be able to sit down and interview Adrian Bosman and his thoughts on the open layout and perhaps, you know, quarters, if I get a chance to sit down with him after quarters is over. But that one you could probably anticipate and look for more on the More Than Fitness podcast that I have in release. This, of course, is an opportunity for me to talk about anything that I want under the sun because this one's mine. But I'd love to really sit down with Boz and talk the games and talk about how he eventually got up into that role and where it kind of came from and evolved from for him. So hopefully we get to do that, take a deep dive into some things. But I appreciate you guys tuning in. I appreciate you staying the distance. If you have listened to this all the way through, I know it's a little longer than some of my other episodes, but heck, the season is rolling. If you have not been thoroughly pleased with your training, your affiliates programming, your boy does affiliate programming too. And I help lay things out based on the way that a gym has equipment to, and commonly the size of their affiliate and the members and the common group size of the class. I'd love to help answer some questions for you or be able to help guide your community if it's something that you're looking for. I made the social media post alluding to this a little bit earlier this week, but I will be taking on one-to-one clients here soon. And that will probably start to range and run through the conclusion of quarterfinals as athletes kind of conclude, most of the athletes in the world conclude their season. So if you're out there looking for personal guidance and a one-to-one relationship with a coach like me, someone that's going to push you and, of course, explore what your potential really has in store, feel free to reach out. You can send me a direct message on Instagram at @AdrianConway_, or feel free to reach out to us through email at info@ttrufitness.com. info@truefitness.com, and that's TTRU. Nonetheless, folks, I appreciate you joining me on another episode here of Rise and Pod, and there's plenty more to come. We're just getting started this year. Have a good one.